This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm definitely not America's sweetheart.
This is Armageddon.
Sponsored by Arrowhead Building Supply.
Tim Jones joining us now. I have no idea where you are, but I assume that you've been listening to these hearings today. Got to get your reaction.
Well, Annie, let me tell you, I'm somewhere where history could be made tomorrow. Greetings from the Big Easy. I'm just directly south of y'all.
Yeah.
Down here in beautiful New Orleans. It was horrible yesterday. It was like winter down here, but the sun is out today at 60 degrees. And tomorrow, Annie, check this out. Tomorrow is election day down here on a Saturday, which is interesting.
So you were at the rally. Were you at the rally last night in Louisiana?
I was not. No, that was over in, I think that was over in Shreveport. No, mm-hmm. we were down here in New Orleans. We had to work very diligently on the restaurant tour last night. So, you know, we may have had an adult beverage or two, but,
sure.
they have those down here. But no, Annie, tomorrow, is the big election day. The president had a huge rally in Louisiana last night. You know, this could be a flip for Republicans. John Bel Edwards is the current governor. He has governed as a very conservative Democrat, one of the last in the entire country. He has made some pro-life maneuvers this year. He's for the Second Amendment, he claims. I don't know what would happen if he gets reelected. Maybe he moves back to the left. But in the last few months, he has moved dramatically to the center. And some people even say he's moved to the right.
Wow.
So Democrats are desperately trying to hold this seat. But they have a great attorney general down here who I've met many times, Mr. Landry. So he's a Republican. They're trying to get back that governor's office, and that would be a flip. I'll bet you if that happens, the national media will completely ignore it in favor of taxpayer-funded fake impeachment, which you've been talking about all day. Annie, I'm unimpressed. After 2 days of impeachment hearings, I'm completely unimpressed. Today, I noticed that one of the lady conservatives I follow on Twitter, I thought she had the best reaction. She had a big eye roll, and she was like, "This is nothing more than a taxpayer-funded therapy session, for the love of God," you know?
Yeah.
That's what it seems like it's been. And the other two fellows the other day, Annie, these are all fine people. They're career bureaucrats. Maybe that's part of the problem. But, you know, they're trying to serve their country well. They've devoted their life's work to this. But I think once you're in that deep state, sometimes you forget that presidents do change, and you have to change with them, you know, because you're not elected, and they are. And the two fellows on Monday – there was that pivotal question, which if the shoe had been on the other foot, they would be replaying the soundbite over and over and over again. It was Congressman Ratcliffe. I'm sure you played it, from Texas, where he said, "Okay, let's get to the crux of the question here. Which of you can tell me what the impeachable offenses were that the president committed?" Not only did they not push back on the question, they sat there in like bewildered silence, because Annie, there is no impeachable offense. The impeachable offense is that the president got elected in November 2016, and they've been hating him ever since.
Tim, do you think – I don't know how much of the hearing you've been able to take in today, but do you see even the direct connection between Ambassador Yovanovitch and the initial understanding? First, it was the phone call that we heard about from the whistleblower. Then the president was like, "Well, here's the phone call." Now the latest thing is bribery. All I see is that Ambassador Yovanovitch from the Democrats, they're basically saying that she's very upstanding, was very good at her job, and this is a shame that she was fired. And her response is, "Yeah, you're right, it is a shame that I was fired." But I don't understand what this is, even how this plugs into the "let's make impeachment actually happen" thing here.
Yeah, Annie, yes, I have caught bits and pieces today. I did catch the entire opening statements. I don't know if you played any of those clips from – I thought Devin Nunes – absolutely owned Adam Schiff this morning. You could tell as soon as Devin Nunes wrapped up by reading the transcript of the first call with the Ukrainian president, Adam Schiff was visibly rattled, visibly shaken. There was something I've never seen happen before, either on the state level or the federal level. Several congressmen and congresswomen tried to make points of order. and asked Congressman Schiff some things, he absolutely rolled them. And I can tell you, in parliamentary procedure world, a point of order is like a magic word. It doesn't matter which party you are or what's going on. When you make a parliamentary point of order, you have to be recognized. It's a privileged motion. Adam Schiff rolled right over the points of order being made by the congressmen and Republican congresswomen to the point where it was not only was it rude, it's a violation of the rules. It's a violation of the rules of Congress. It's a violation of the rules of parliamentary procedure and Robert's Rules of Order. It's a violation of constitutional order. But, you know, when you're running a Soviet-style star chamber, I guess it really doesn't matter. So, Annie, I'm glad the American people are seeing this. This is why they did not want to have open hearings, because the emperor has no clothes. They have no legitimate facts to present. You're right. Okay, Yovanovitch in the legal world, she would be called a character witness, right? Mm-hmm. She's not a fact witness. She's not a direct evidence witness. She's not even a circumstantial evidence witness. She's a character witness, and the character is, I'm a good and upstanding person who served this country faithfully and well for over 3 decades. Donald Trump is an evil human being. You know, impeach him. That's basically it, is what she's saying in so many words. She's trying to do it in a nice way, but it's basically just this big boo-hoo session. And I'm sorry that she lost her position. It seems like she's a very capable person. But I'll go back to my first point. Bureaucrats stay. Elected people come and go, and we set that up on purpose. And when a new elected person is put in charge of our country, it's because as a representative democracy, the people wanted that to happen. And if you don't follow the lead of the new elected leader of the representative democracy, guess what you become? You become an authoritarian oligarchy or a totalitarian dictatorship. And these bureaucrats have just, Annie, you know what, in a nutshell, at the very end of the day, what this has shown me this week, and I think everybody in America is seeing this. This is a policy dispute between President Trump and the deep state bureaucrats as to how Ukraine should be handled. That's what this is boiling down to. There are no impeachable offenses. Everything has either been hearsay or character bashing. And at the end of the day, that's basically where we are. And you can tell in the polling, some of the early polling that's coming out, nobody is being moved by any of this. And I'm going to predict the Democrats are going to lose their ground on this, and impeachment popularity is going to sink.
Chris Wallace reacted earlier in the break that they took. It was a pretty long break. And he said that the House actually polled words to figure out what sounded worse to the American people when they were talking about quid pro quo. And they ended up coming up with bribery. And then you see the shift in public discourse about what's taking place here. Bribery keeps coming up. I mean, you know a lot more about the underworld of politics than the average bear, I would assume. But is that type of action a commonality to pull specific words and vocabulary so that they can try to make it just look as bad as possible?
Oh, you bet your bippy. Yeah, absolutely, Annie. And that shows another thing about this. That shows another truth about this. This is not a trial. This is not a quest for truth. This is not a search for justice. Annie, this is a political campaign that is being waged by using taxpayer dollars and taxpayer time. We've got things like the USMCA teed up, ready to go. Nearly 200,000 new American jobs will be created if it's passed. And instead of doing something like that for the American people, the U.S. Congress under Nancy Pelosi has issued more subpoenas than they've passed bills to the president's desk this year. They have been abysmally incompetent and inefficient. They're betraying their oath to the country. Annie, did you know they were supposed to pass a budget like 3 or 4 months ago? Well, they haven't. They haven't. And so guess what's coming up? A CR deadline.
No,
where we're gonna race to the edge of the cliff again.
Shut it down.
While impeachment is going on. How's that gonna work out?
I don't know.
Hey Tim, it's Ryan. After watching these testimonies, and I know we're not done, there's still more to go, but if these are the best ones they've got right out of the gate, is there a snowball's chance that the Democrats come away from this and say, actually, we're not gonna go forward with impeachment?
I think, Ryan, because all of this is currently based on, like I said, not a quest for truth or justice, but on popular opinion and political campaigning, I think if they run their internal polls over the next few days and if they see it dramatically slipping away, I won't say never about anything in D.C., Ryan. I think there's a chance they won't stop it, but they may slow it down. They may start retreating a little bit. It may start being a secondary concern. If you start seeing that, if you start seeing movement on other legislative items, you can bet that that's probably what's going on. I almost think they've jumped so far over their skis on this that they're falling down the cliff and they can't stop it because of people like the Squad and the other leftists. But I think you got a point there. I think people should watch very carefully as to what happens and how this plays out. They claim, okay, you're right, these first few witnesses, yeah, they've been interesting, but they really haven't told us anything new. And if you believe the polling to this point, it's been early polling, nobody's been moved by this in the country. What they claim, they've got another witness next week, which could be dramatically helpful, but why didn't you put that person on this week? I mean, people, there's already less people watching this hearing than the Kavanaugh hearings and the Comey hearings and the Mueller hearings. So you're already losing the interest of the American people, and you're going to lose it further if you continue just putting people on the stand who hate Donald Trump or don't approve of him. We already know that that's true. The left hates Donald Trump. The right generally loves him. Okay, tell us something new. It really seems to be a strange way to run a railroad.
I got to read this tweet to you, and I've just got like a minute or so here. Hillary Clinton tweeted 2 hours ago, "Witness intimidation is a crime, no matter who does it." Full stop. Just wanted to get your reaction.
Does she hear herself in her echo chamber? I mean, the thing she says, her projection.
She tweeted
is,
that.
Witness intimidation
is a crime. Someone says only if you're alive to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that just as bad as being the keynote speaker at a cybersecurity conference? I mean, Hillary Clinton just never.
Tone
never
does.
Stops aiming to please, does she?
Yeah, it really is something. Real quick, I'm going to ask you one more question. 20-second response. President Trump's tweeting about Yovanovitch during the hearing. Schiff reading it to her. Is that witness tampering?
Yeah. Well, he's telling everybody in the world, so I don't see how it really, really could be. I will say this, though. You know, the president needs to when bad things are happening to the Democrats, he needs to shut up and let it sink in, because one of the worst things he does is he steps on his good news all the time. So I would urge the president, let these congressmen and women do their jobs. They're doing a fine job. At least Stefanik from New York, Nunez, Jordan. I mean, they're crushing it up there this week. Democrats
Fantastic.
Look foolish.
Yeah, Tim Jones, Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. right here on 97.1. Squeezing you in here one more time on Friday. Thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you.
Thanks, Annie. Thanks, Wiggins.
Yep.
You guys have a good weekend.
Yeah, you as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.